Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary, and this, what I'm using right now is my real voice, unlike Carolina, who uses her fake host's voice.
I don't know why we're starting off with you antagonizing me. I don't know why that is your choice right now.
That's just how I'm feeling.
I don't know why.
That's how I'm feeling.
She's feeling spicy today, folks.
She's coming
out the
gate.
What is my real voice? Okay. Yes, it's hard to be always
on. No, this is your real voice, but your intro is always like, hello.
Okay. Well, I thought that was my brand.
It's always like, who is it? Hello. Hello. Like Mrs. Doubtfire.
What am I supposed to do? Change after 70 episodes of our show?
I think you
want me to change?
I think, no, I don't want you to change. I want you to be who you are, but I...
What about when you said never change?
I wrote that in your yearbook as just a fleeting thing. I didn't mean like forever since we're 13 years old, you have to never change. I just meant like...
Well, I am never going to change. I stayed a virgin for life.
Wait, isn't that kind of messed up if you think about the fact that Gordo wrote in Lizzie McGuire's yearbook, have a great summer, don't ever change? She was in middle school. In what world does she not ever change? Like, I hope she changes. I hope she learns to drive. I hope she... moves out of her parents' house when she's old enough. Like, that was kind of...
She never grew another inch, and neither did Gordo.
That's true, but that's because...
Okay, so... So Hillary Duff did a Architectural Digest tour of her house. You know, those little videos they do? And some of them are wild. Like, if you watch Liv Tyler's, she is bananas. And she answers her phone at one point. He's like, hello? Just kidding.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
That's great energy.
That very, very interesting, like a drink at 11 a.m. energy. And Hillary Duff actually seems like a very nice person.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say, be careful because I am a fan, but go on.
But she does walk past her fireplace and there's a bunch of firewood stacked next to it. And she's like, and I loved the exposed firewood here.
Come on. Like, as if, oh, we're so perfect that we wouldn't accidentally say exposed firewood instead of exposed brick. I don't think so.
It's exposed firewood when you're talking about logs, when you're talking about actual
firewood. She was
firewood.
Nervous. She's welcoming cameras into her home.
Okay, well, I guess we should leave room in case she wants to be a guest on the podcast. That's my real voice.
I do love when people do the memes on Instagram of her old choreographed dance moves. Like, no offense, but she was a really bad dancer when she was a pop star. Like, there's a meme that was like, when someone tells Adele fans you can't dance to Easy on Me, and it was like Hillary Duff doing her like robotic dance moves to Easy on Me.
It was a different time for dance when it was very choreographed moves.
It was Boom Cat era.
Oh, yes.
Lorraine from Making the Band. Boom Cat. Boom Cat! Boom Cat! That's what she was like. Boom Cat! I said Boom Cat!
Is this O-Town years?
O-Town, Danity Kane.
Danity Kane, Aubrey O'Day. We have to jump to something that's urgent, something that is recent, something that affects our lives and thus our listeners, because I know what happens to us directly affects you.
Yes.
And that is that one of our own is betrothed, is wedded.
She is. She went out and did it for us, knowing that we could not do
it
ourselves.
She did it for the girls. She went out and did it for the girls. She got married, okay? Is it a coincidence that she listened to True Romance and then she got married? Yes, because she was engaged before she started working on our show. But I like to think our podcast made a huge impact on...
It's why she does everything she does, let's be honest.
Yes. It's her North Star, as she's never called it. Please welcome to the pod our producer, the woman who makes this show happen truly.
The magic behind the music. The magic behind the music.
The magic behind the music, Olivia.
Hello, hello. I felt so honored when you two were like, wait, you're married? Get on the podcast.
We are interviewing a real married person today, folks.
A real life, just married last weekend.
Just married.
Literally, like a week ago, just married. The ring is officially on. It is permanently on me. The ring is real. I know this isn't a visual element, but
we can tell them it's gleaming.
It's gleaming. It's sparkling. It's blinding. It's blinding Carolina and Devin so much.
I'm speechless because... What is the word for when jealousy is mixed with love?
Jalove.
Jealousy.
It's Jalove.
I'm feeling Jalove right now. No, Olivia, your proposal story, could you give us a synopsis? I know that you were scared of the proposal.
Yeah.
Happening in the wrong place.
So, my husband, Harry, that's so strange. My husband, Harry.
Husband!
He proposed to me in Los Angeles at a hiking area that we go to frequently. And it was super romantic and everything. But to your point, I was scared of the proposal because the week prior, we were at San Diego Comic-Con. And one of the many qualities I love about Harry is that he is a full-on, like, Marvel nerd, loves the comics, loves Moon Knight in particular. And he was just acting so strange during that time. And just, and this was my first Comic-Con, and I was so paranoid that he was going to get down on one knee at the convention center around so many people dressed up in cosplay Spider-Man.
Wolverines.
It was either like there at the Comic-Con or he like orchestrated or like thinking like, oh my gosh, like a flash mob. Please, no, I don't want to see.
I think
it's a Spider-Man flash mob.
I think we can stand, we can make a stand as a podcast right now that we are anti-flash mob in general. Okay, so you're nervous about Comic-Con. Then Harry's acting weird.
Yeah, he was acting kind of strange. Mind you, his job is like deadline driven and all that. So I was thinking like, okay, maybe it's something at work and all that. And I just like felt his energy shift a little. But also, too, we've been on the same page about getting married and all that. So we did like the ring shopping, just checking out different like styles on my hand. So key thing, be on the same page. So
yes,
that is important. So but then I noticed he was more stressed than usual. So and then once he proposed to me when we were hiking, I was like, OK, this explains everything. And he like sang one of our favorite songs during the proposal. And it actually ended up being our first dance, too. It's Electric Love by Borns. And so,
oh my God, I love that song.
Yeah, it was so sweet. And like, I could tell like he was so nervous. And it was just like such a fun, genuine proposal where it's like it was so intimate between us. I'm sure he's fine with this. His mom wanted to be involved with the proposal, but Harry just put his foot down. It's like, no, this is Olivia's moment.
This is my
I love
thing.
That mom energy. My mom would do the same thing.
I can see that.
Like she was, again, I love her so much. She's my mother-in-law. And I guess she was like talking to him being like, okay, so I'm going to hide in the bushes. And
oh my God. I love that.
So how did you and Harry meet?
We met at a bar, like, I know this sounds strange, but like old fashioned style, because now a lot of people meet online and all this and other ways. But we met at a bar. I was out for a friend's birthday party and he was out with his boys.
The broskies
got together and they said, come on, let's do it up.
Talking smack and slapping asses, I'm sure.
Yes, so much. And we were at the same bar and this was just, I'm just thinking of this now because it was so fresh during our family and friends speeches of like how we met and everything. And one of the memories of when I met Harry there, he like came up to me all smooth, like just like, hi, I'm Harry. And he's like, you're the most beautiful girl in this bar. And then I responded back because I can get sassy. And I responded, only this bar?
Love. Wow.
I will say the spiciness was definitely fueled by like Allagash Whites. That's it.
Sure. No, I'm just impressed that you thought that quickly on your feet. If someone said that to me, I'd be like,
I was just thinking like, when I was dating in New York, like I always wanted to go out because I always was like, I'm going to meet someone. I actually had the energy of like Ramona Singer in the seasons of Real Housewives after Mario Lisa, where I was like, all right, where are we going? How many single guys are going to be there? Like, I'm not going to be there unless they're single men. Like that's, but then every time I got there, I would freeze up. And even if like one time a guy did come up to me and say like, hey, like, do you want to dance? And I was like, what? No. And then, like, the whole rest of the weekend, I was it was a bachelorette weekend. I was, like, complaining. I was like, no one, like, hits on me. And someone kept being like, but what about that guy who asked you to dance? You acted like he was, like, a murderer. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. I just have no idea how to interact with humans, I guess.
It's like a fine line. I honestly thinking that just from like the scenario you presented, I would be very like, no, what? No,
it was jarring. It was jarring. But I'm just saying I'm not smooth and you are. And I respect that. And I guess maybe we all could be married now if we were a little more quick on our feet.
That's our message out. It's your fault if you're not married right now.
Yeah.
What was your first impression of Harry?
My first impression of him, I just thought he was the funniest person. Just like meeting him, he's very quick and witty. And so like, I would say within the first like week of meeting him, he was just making me laugh all the time, just with like silly stuff and just him being able to be himself right away. Like I definitely went through this with dating. It's like you want to set like a good first impression.
Right. You're just not your, at least for me, I'm not myself until like totally. The third date, really.
Yeah. I definitely like with past dating, I would never present like my true self until like months later. And he just presented himself just so authentic. And it just made me feel more comfortable being like, oh, if like that's happening, then I can just be myself and that's A-okay. And that's what really attracted me was just like his personality. And then just he's such a like kind and lovable person. Like he thinks of others first before him. And like he's just like such a helpful guy. And I'm just so attracted when someone can be just so sweet to others and also be like sweet to themselves too. So yeah, that's what got me with it.
I love that.
It reminds me of this I'm listening to Brené Brown's The Power of Vulnerability. Oh. It's pretty good. But one thing she says that I've been thinking about a lot is that when she shows up in situations, her motto is don't shrink, don't puff up. Like
I like that.
It's don't belittle yourself and don't, because of any insecurity, like brag or try to be someone you're not. And how do we show up exactly as we are, which I think is something I've definitely struggled with when I want an outcome, like I want someone to think of me a certain way. But she was saying, like, if you show up as yourself and that person doesn't like it, or that group of friends doesn't like it, or that job interview doesn't go well, at least you showed up as yourself. You don't feel like shame afterwards. You could feel disappointment. But I feel like I want to adopt that more. And it definitely is something that's interesting. If someone else is themselves, it does like relax a room.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, I think that is really good advice, is just being your authentic self. And I definitely had that like in my vows writing to him, was like, I've never met like someone so authentic and so true. So, and that's what definitely really attracted me to him. And yeah, it's just such a beautiful, I feel so positive. I mind you, listeners out there, I am on such a wedding high right now, but we can address like there are, you know, the ebbs and flows of everything.
I was going to say, what was like the most stressful part of planning the wedding?
Honestly, like myself and Harry were like producers. So we were like pretty on top of stuff. So I think the beautiful thing of the wedding is like we both had our personalities in it. Sometimes when you see a wedding, you're like, oh, definitely one person was super involved in this and like that. But we both showed our personalities. And honestly, I think like the most challenging part, and this is so funny to think, I think it was food that was challenging. Because you had to like adjust everyone's dietary, like all this. And it's so funny. One thing about Harry, he doesn't like sweet potatoes. So when we were going over our menu, and this is where I was like, whoa, this is some Groomzilla stuff, but I'm loving it. Like Groomzilla. When they were talking about, because we had like mixed vegetables and they were like, it's going to be seasonal and all this. And since your wedding's in the fall, like, we recommend like sweet potatoes. And our email chain, Harry responds back, no sweet potatoes.
If I see a fucking sweet potato on anyone's plate, I'm going to go ballistic. I don't even know what I'm going to do.
When you bring up sweet potatoes, my first response was like, oh, at least that's like an uncommon thing. But then when you said fall seasonal, it is the most, it's like butternut squash sweet potatoes. you better like one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Harry made that, like put his foot down and was like, no sweet potato, I'm like, yeah, that's
no
fine.
No sweet potato it is. No, you sweet got potato. It.
I do have to say that, and people can look at your Instagram after this to see, but you looked so beautiful.
Yes.
The cut of your dress was stunning. I loved how you did your hair. And I have some logistical questions.
Yes, yes.
What song did you walk down the aisle to?
So we had mariachi band at our wedding.
Amazing.
And it was a Spanish and English version of Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Oh my God. Alea! And chills! Chills!
To that song, I think the lyrics were in Spanish and then the chorus was in English, just like a hybrid mix of them. And it was, they were so awesome. Shout out to Mariachis Arco Iris. Like, they were so amazing. And they're an LGBTQ mariachi band in Los Angeles. So it was.
This is great resource. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's just like. They were just so phenomenal. And then just walking down the aisle of that, it just felt so, it was beautiful and like relaxing too. Cause like, I mean, depending on what song you want to walk down to, it can be like super dramatic and all that,
yeah.
But it's like, this was like a joyous occasion. I'm like, let's have a mariachi band and play the music and everything.
I'm glad you bring that up because Carolina has told me that whenever she gets married, she plans to walk down the aisle to Shallow by Lady Gaga. And I've told her so many times, I'm like, this is a little dramatic. Like, I think people are going to be jarred. But she says, no, I cannot walk down the aisle to any other song.
No, I said I would sing Shallow walking down the aisle.
Right, 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 right.
And I said, I'm ready for this. I'm prepared vocally. I've never been stronger. You know what's so funny is that me and an ex once talked about getting married. And I said that, like, if we get married, I want to walk down the aisle with a mic on my face, like how Britney used to sing.
Yes.
With, like, a mic on my face. And then I want to stop in mid-aisle, turn like I'm going to run away. And then I want you, the groom, up there to start singing like, no, don't go. And then me to turn back. I was totally serious about this. I would have done this for sure.
This is so like, good.
What do you mean? Don't talk to me like that. And had a back and forth singing until we got married. Which brings me to my next question, which is, you guys wrote your own vows. And what was that like, reading your vows to each other? And were you surprised at certain points in the wedding when you got emotional? Or what suddenly turned you emotional? Because I feel like I've seen women walk down the aisle and I could tell that, like, all of a sudden they were crying just because it's such a shock that this is happening, this life moment.
It definitely was like emotional, I think, at the end, towards like walking to, I guess, the altar area, like just walking up and I'm like, oh my goodness, we're here. And this is the moment. And I just remember getting emotional, not so much like teary eyed, but being like, wow, this is going to be a moment that we remember for the rest of our lives. And it was just also neat when you're like up there and you like look into the crowd and it's like your whole life's in front of you, like family, friends, like, your like teachers, your like, it's just like amazing. You just see your whole, both of your lives, you see both of your lives in front of you. And I think that was a very emotional, because I feel strongly where like the people you invite or include wedding, like they've contributed to you in your life,
right,
in so many ways. And definitely when we got to our vows, that's where the waterworks happened. I like was like, okay, I'm gonna like have like be composed and I'm gonna read this to him. And then as soon as I said his name and our nickname to each other, I just started bawling. Like, it just was like, here we go. And the vows were so personal and so sweet. Mine was like a little bit of a mix of like sincere vows, but also a roast to him.
Yes, well. That's, I like that. I like that mix.
And the crazy thing is too, where our vows, so we like give each other nicknames and then our friends like call each other names. And I started my vows that way. And coincidentally, like, Harry's vows started out that way. And, like, we had guests coming up being like, did you guys, like, talk beforehand and all this? And we're like, no, literally, like, we wrote our vows, like, in separate, like I was at a hotel, he was at our apartment. Like, it was, like, not planned at all, but it was just so sincere and so genuine. And, like, we just had guests, like, come up to us being like, those were our favorite vows, like, ever.
Love.
And that's like a huge thing, because I was like, I think the focus too was like, we wanted to write our own, but we also are like, like, we're not going to, like, lean on. And I'm sorry, I remember you two mentioning that you guys are a religious podcast.
Yes. Why?
Yes.
Why? But what just were you like gonna
when,
say?
Oh.
You think it's natural that Devin has a life-size cross behind her in her room?
Okay. You know what? Let's just skip this.
It's yeah, please but, don't be put off by Jesus's naked body behind me, because that was the form he was crucified in, and I am paying homage to how he passed for us for our sins. Every time I sin, I have to pray 18 times to his naked body behind me, and I have to practice please, not being aroused.
Please disregard the life-size nativity scene behind me and why I'm swaddled like baby Jesus himself. I just feel at home where Jesus felt at
home.
In the manger.
And
that's the name of our podcast, the new name of our podcast, In the Manger.
In the Manger with Carolina Barlow. You know, it is a little bit like narcissistic to assume that out of all the places in the nativity scene, you will get the manger.
But I'm confused. Why?
Okay. Okay. I want true
romance. So, you guys didn't lean too much into religion in the ceremony.
Yeah, we didn't lean too much into it. We just wanted to really focus on, like, the ideas of, like, love and friendship and commitment. So, it was just, that was, like, kind of the themes. And even, like, for our, like, reading portion, one of my good friends from growing up read a poem by Maya Angelou called Touched by an Angel, and it's just really emphasizing, like, the power of, like, love and how much it sets you free. And I felt like that was just, like, such an important point, where it's like, I want, like, all our friends and family to know this, like, how, like, once you let love enter you, whether it's, like, you know, like, whether it's in partnership or even loving yourself, like, that's where you become the most free. And just that reading, like, really spoke to us. And yeah, and not, like, heavily picking up on a reading on some, you know, biblical thing. So we're just like, we wanted something that was genuine in that, and something to share and really encourage our guests to, like, leave with and all that.
And I love that you mentioned food, because I've been at waspy weddings where they truly don't know how to feed people, where I've stalked waiters who are holding appetizers because I'm that hungry that I'm like, get over here. He just left the kitchen. Go get a slider. So what would you call one of your wedding hacks? What did you do that you thought, oh, that was a really good idea? Thank God we did that.
A good wedding hack. Okay. I know weddings can be costly. So it's like, what you want to put into the wedding is, like, what you think will, like, leave an impact or an impression on people and all that. And, like, sure, with food, like, you want to make sure you're feeding everyone and all that. But I think one of the best things, and this was a last minute add-on, was our grand exit, because I was like, at first Harry and I were like, okay, we don't need a grand exit, like, it's fine. And also our venue had a lot of rules that we, like, couldn't bring certain things and all that. So it's like, okay, we'll just, like, walk to our after party. Who cares? And last minute, we decided our neighborhood in LA has a big lowrider community. And for our listeners, yes, out there, lowriders are just, like, beautiful, majestic cars. Usually Chevy's, like, the predominant, like, maker. And it's a huge thing in, like, a lot of the Latino communities of just having, like, really nice cars. And sometimes you add, like, a thing called hydraulics to it where you can make it go up and down.
If anyone watched Exhibit's show Pimp My Ride, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so in the neighborhood we're in, lowriders are really popular, and also, like, there's been parades and all that. So when Harry and I were talking, I'm like, I know we weren't thinking a grand exit, but let's think about this lowrider thing. And also, to, like, myself being Mexican-American, I'm like, yes, this is a neat way to pay homage to the local community and all this. And so I got on Facebook. I know Facebook is under fire right now, but
now and I got always.
As always, forever on fire. I reached out to the Los Angeles Lowrider Community Group and literally just gave details, offered to pay, like, what we were looking for. And then someone reached out to us, and that was our grand exit, was leaving out in a lowrider in front of our venue. And it was So sweet. And the driver was so amazing. And he just drove us up and down the streets of like where we live nearby. And like everyone, like the locals were just like going nuts. Like, this is amazing and all this. So I would say, okay, so backtracking a little, like definitely put in money where you think you are going to love it in the end. And then also to like, if it's worth it, I think like some people feel pressured when they see like bridal magazines or like even social media to be like,
oh my God,
okay, I must have this, or like, I don't even have a wedding. And it's like, you don't need to. I think the most fun weddings are when you just really put the event and you show both of your personalities in it. And I think that's where you find it fun. And that can be whether you decide to spend a little more in this area or like not spend money. Like, even for us, like, we didn't do a champagne toast because we're like, we have cocktails. I'm like, in my mind, I think it's a waste of money. Also, you have so much champagne left over. It's, and we're just like, well, we're not really like champagne people either.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like, stay true to yourselves. Even through the planning process, you kind of get annoyed where you're like, man, I have to be concerned about this guest and that guest. But like, in the end, it truly is about you two celebrating your love. So it's like, make your party be focused around you. Sure, you'll have some headaches that you have to deal logistically of like pleasing people and all this. But in the end, like, have it be about you. That's like the most important thing, whether you spend in this area or not spend in certain areas.
Yeah, I love that. It's so funny. I was talking to a wedding planner recently, actually, and he said that specific thing was, he said champagne toasts are a waste of money because so many people don't want to drink champagne. And then you're just left over with so much champagne. People will be drinking whiskey being like, I don't want a glass of champagne right now.
It's true.
Of course, I drank when I did drink like an animal. So I would have been like, sure, why not?
No, I do not remember ever seeing people actually enjoying the champagne at a wedding, I have to say.
I like that advice in terms of making it about your own personalities, because I think that's something that's interesting about the wedding community, is that some people are committed to just the bridal sort of look rather than how they want it to feel.
Yeah, sometimes I think like, yeah, I mean, the bridal industry is like a $1 billion industry, and
yes,
it's like,
it's wild.
And they like, people can easily persuade you to do something that, you know, like, oh, that isn't us, but I feel like we have to do that just for the sake of it. And it's like, no, in the end, you can say no and just be like, yeah, the power of no. That's what I'm saying.
Given that,
they're like, we got a brother who does a good 10-minute stand-up bit.
Never.
Given that I have fully gotten haircuts that I hated and cried afterwards because I was afraid to say no, I can't imagine myself, like, I can imagine ending up with a wedding that made like no sense to who I was, an actual like religious wedding, just if the wedding planner was like, so that's okay, right? I'd be like, okay. Okay.
I know. I've literally had someone straighten my bangs, even though I have curly hair, and cut across like a bull haircut. And I have not said a single word because I was too scared of hurting their feelings, even though I was paying them. And then I left and immediately cried. It's also interesting. It's like, it's one of those things where I could see getting confused if people were like, well, this is how it's done. Like, this is what, well, you have to have this.
Ugh.
I would be like, oh, I don't know. I'm just a little girl.
I don't know.
I'm a baby. I can't believe I'm getting married.
I mean, it's like, you and your partner have the choice to say no. And I to people who are planning to get married, looking to get married, like, just, again, make it about yourselves and also really use that power of no. Just like, because you want it to be reflecting what both of you are.
I love that. I think that's really good advice. You look so happy right now. And that is such a reflection, I think, on who you married, how you got married. And it's such a reminder that it's about the person, not about the wedding.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah. I mean, in the end, like, we had people write like really sweet notes to us. And like, there were a couple people that, like, I thought this was so sweet of them, that they're like, like we had like a prompt out being like, what wedding advice do you give to it? Blah, blah. And like people were like, we have no advice because we see you two so in love and so happy with each other. And I'm like, okay, there's something we're missing. Like, come on. There's got to be something else. And then like we got lovely advice from like people, but it's like, yeah, just I think that was the best part is like it was just being our authentic selves shown in our whole wedding, whether it was outfits, decorations, all that. It was just so beautiful. And like the people also, I guess another tip is be sure you work with vendors that you really enjoy and that they see what vision you're executing and all that. And all of our vendors did that. And I think that helped significantly. And it was just like so sweet that like I could see in Harry's eyes and vice versa that he could see within me. It's like we were just so happy in that moment. And another recommendation, don't have your phone on you.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, but I saw someone post on Instagram, by someone, I actually mean Amanda Batula, star of Summer House and Winter House on Bravo, who we will be talking about later in the episode. She posted that she recommended that people don't have their phones, but have someone else hold your phone and take pictures for you, because mm-hmm. she woke up the next morning and didn't have any photos from the night. And then she wished that she had like asked someone to take candids or something.
Yeah, we my maid of honor, shout out to Kelsey. She had my phone and they just created a shared album and just like everyone just poured their photos in there. And
smart.
It was
smart.
Yeah, that was one way we did it. And I just like, yeah, I literally didn't have my phone. Kelsey had it the whole time, and it just works out. And it's one less thing to be stressed about, because you're going to get a flood of messages from people wishing you like great luck that day and all that. So your phone's just going to be buzzing uncontrollably. And we're all addicted to our phones. At least I am.
I'm not.
I'm
not. Oh, do you mean the phone and the computer I slept with in my bed last night? Yeah, maybe I have a problem. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's just like, just hand it off to someone. And yeah, I like we did a shared album at the end and everyone just uploaded their photos.
Olivia, you've listened to us talk and debate relationships. What is the relationship advice you would give to the singles out there? Looping myself, and I'm grouping myself in with
them. I just say be your authentic self. Like, you are going to attract someone who, as long as you are being true to yourself, that's where you'll see the attraction. Like, you never want to change for someone, and just be your true authentic self. And also just communicate like what you want, like what you are seeking for and all that. I think that has helped out. Even late, like when Harry and I like first met, I was like kind of like, okay, I think I'm going to look for something serious, but like, we'll see what happens. And then it just goes from there. And I think definitely really, and it's taken like lots of therapy of just being comfortable with who you are and not having to change who you are.
I love that. And I feel like I am only just getting to that point in my life where I'm like, oh my God, I think I can actually just be myself now. But
it's, for me, it's like an exhaustion thing. Like, I'm too tired.
Yeah,
to put
like
up a
front. I just don't feel like it anymore.
I don't have the energy.
But I think
you'll have to get to know the real me.
No, but
yeah,
I think
no, truly.
That's really good advice, because so often I think like we do present a facade, and then it's like eventually they're going to find out anyway, or you're going to find out anyway who someone really is. So I think if you can from the start feel comfortable being yourself, that's like probably the best sign there is that it's going to have long lasting potential.
Yeah.
I think I spent many years trying to determine when dating what kind of person the person I was dating might like. Right now I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what kind of person judges someone based off that? But in my early 20s, I thought, yeah. So I went to a lot of bad art house movies and I did all these things that I did not want to do because I was trying to create a version of myself that was quote unquote lovable by a specific person. And then I completely lost touch with myself. And it took me like 2 years to really feel like myself again, which is wild.
Yeah. I definitely went through that too. Like, with first dating was just like, oh, I'm going to like really like this particular band and I'm gonna like research their discography, and then you like realize like I don't give a shit about them. Like, why did I waste so much time?
I don't like One Direction, okay? It's enough.
That's what Devin's boyfriend told her.
One Direction or bust.
I mean, if you can't get behind it,
1D or bust is Devin's license plate. Or 1D and bust.
And bust.
Olivia, thank you so much for being our producer and for just being so dedicated and such a nice person. It makes me so happy, and I truly believe you deserve the happiness. And though I pitched myself as ring bearer and flower girl, not once, twice, but three times. And listen, I didn't hear no, but I didn't hear yes. I didn't hear back. And so that's the only time that I've had a communication problem with you, actually, because you're an incredible producer. And that is just me giving some positive feedback.
Okay. I'll check my inbox. It might have gone to junk or something, but
I think blocked messages. If you have a blocked messages folder, you might want to check there.
Yeah, it seems like I gotta go through a couple of them. So yeah. I'm so sorry. And I'll go through those.
No, it's okay. Now that I know that it was an accident, I'm totally fine.
Well, I just wanted to say we couldn't do the show without you, Olivia. You are truly the foundation upon which we stand. And I trust your creative opinion over everything. I trust your opinion on people over everything. So I know that I would already have known that Harry was wonderful if I didn't also get to meet him, which Carolina didn't, by the way. But I did, because that's how close we are. So I'm so happy for you guys. And
maybe I was in the hospital.
I was going to say to the listeners out there, Carolina just gave a blank stare, just like hearing everything Devin was just saying right now, meeting Harry.
Like, wow. I could have been under the knife.
Well, I think you're actually just up the road.
I could have been.
You were actually just up the road.
I could have been.
But we didn't reach out.
But I could have been.
But we didn't reach out to you. Okay. So Olivia, we love you. Thank you for joining us.
Olivia, what is your Instagram so that our listeners can see your amazing wedding photos and follow the shows that you work on?
Yes. So I am at Olivia Newton Wan on Instagram.
Incredible.
And also, too, being an executive producer on Big Money Players, follow Big Money Players on Instagram as well. And just seeing all the shows that I work on. True Romance does have a special place in my heart. So
thank you.
Keep following. Keep listening. I love you both so much. You two are so sweet.
We love you. Okay, we'll be right back. I want true romance. Welcome back to True Romance. That was our producer, Olivia. We're so happy for her. But now we get to dive in to a show that Devin introduced me to. And while watching it, I really realized this is a whole reality TV universe that I have not been a part of yet. And this is a show called Winter House. It's on Devin's home network, Bravo. And it's about, correct me if I'm wrong, attractive people drinking in a winter house.
Yes. So the origin of this show... Let me just put on my history glasses here and give you a quick lesson. So the origin of this show, it started with Summer House, which was a show Bravo came out with that features singles who get a Hamptons house. And the show was following them over like 6 to 8 weekends where they would go from Manhattan to the Hamptons. And they would do like little quick inserts where it's like, this is our life in the city. We're going to lunch. We're going to work. And then it's like, it's Thursday night. We're heading out to the Hamptons. So it was kind of like a slice of life if you were a Hamptons weekender. And that spawned into Winter House, which also has some tie-ins from Southern Charm, I would say, which is Bravo's most problematic series, has features.
I can guess, but why is it problematic?
Southern Charm features multiple descendants of slave owners. It features people who live on family plantations.
Okay.
It features people who say, like, you're our kind, you know, like it's
They
made a push. None of the characters on Winter House, which is just, I believe, Craig Conover and Austin Kroll are the two from Southern Charm. They are not descended from slave owners as far as I know. And they have not been like problematic characters aside from drug use and maybe a little bit of like bro-y misogyny. But
maybe like COVID denying. That's what I read about Austin Kroll.
Well, so this season of Southern Charm, as all other Bravo shows, the most recent season took place during COVID. And I mean, none of us were surprised. The Southern Charm experience of COVID was not one I can get behind. None of us are surprised. Like, they're out clubbing, they're getting COVID, they're spreading it around. It's fine. So Winterhouse is a conglomeration of these two
series, universes.
These universes.
It's like Avengers.
It's like Avengers. I couldn't be more excited because I love Summer House. I have stood by Summer House. Paul Scheer once went on the podcast Bitch Sesh to make the case for Summer House because they don't watch Summer House. And he was like, guys, this is like basically the real world. It's like people are having sex on camera. They have the cameras in the bedrooms that show people getting under the covers together. Like, it's kind of an old school style reality show. And it's just people hooking up, sexual tension. And it is that. And I love that. And I'm a stan for Paige DeSorbo. I love Sierra Miller, who's a recent add to the
franchise.
She's
gorgeous. Oh, my God. She's one of the most beautiful people I've seen on reality TV in a while.
Yeah.
I was like, she could have been on America's Next Top Model.
She's also a nurse, by the way. So
there we go. You know how I feel about nurses, people.
So I was really excited for this because it's basically my favorite reality show with Christmas on top, Christmas vibes, because it's in winter in Vermont with snow. So I was like, yeah, you can sign me right up. I was excited for Carolina because it's the first season. Like, she can get in on the ground floor. This is what I'm saying. I've been trying to get Carolina to watch Salt Lake City too, because it's like you can get in from the beginning. You have an opportunity here.
That's you have given me that prompt many times. What I liked about Winterhouse was that people came in who are in relationships that do not look healthy.
Yes.
And I think I can speak to anyone, whether or not you watch reality TV, when I say I like a chaotic couple. I like being in the presence of a couple that maybe shouldn't be together.
Yes.
But I get to watch their dynamics with my little opera glasses that I would bring to the opera. Swing those up. Watch you guys talk. Watch the passive aggressive jabs. Watch someone exhibit behavior. Watch, and I'm talking, of course, about Amanda and Kyle.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
So that is, it's a totally normal couple, except the guy looks very
deeply
well groomed.
Yes.
He's a little too well groomed. A lot of these guys are too well groomed. One of them who would have been normally hot came in distressed jeans.
The Italian guy?
No, the other guy who used to date Sierra.
Oh, Luke.
Luke came in distressed jeans and an Abercrombie jacket. And I was like, you have such an opportunity to just be hot.
Yes.
And instead, you've chosen pure insanity. You've chosen the 2000s.
Luke is trash. He's a narcissist. Just so you know, Amanda and Kyle's origin is that she was a girl that Kyle would invite over at like 2 a.m. and they would like have drunken hookups. But then she landed him. Like, she like then turned it into a relationship, a rare privilege that doesn't happen
for
most of us.
Yeah, don't take this as a lesson, folks.
Going from the 2 a.m. hookup to full-blown relationship. And that obviously had its flaws, where he has cheated on her multiple times. He's clearly an untreated alcoholic, and she is clearly an Al-Anon. And although I love watching their videos fostering puppies together, I don't have the best hopes for this marriage.
He was eating his dinner with a wooden serving spoon and yelling drunkenly, which I obviously, it was like holding up a mirror to my past self. I didn't judge him because I once was him. I really didn't. And he did fall asleep on the bathroom floor, and watching it, I remembered so clearly the cold tile against my face and the thought of, this feels comfortable, actually. I think I'll stay here for the night. So again, I'm not judging. I'm just noticing. And I also identified with Amanda, who's obviously in a loveless relationship and is just casually flirting with an Italian in the house. And
Andrea,
the Italian boy in the house, who all the girls are like,
and he's like, the pussy, I lick at the pee. And they're like, what? For Amanda gang, I'm good. What I'm best at is licking the pee.
You have to, as he said, poop. U-S-S-Y.
For someone to get away with that, you have to be really attractive. They were all still turned on. They're like, is it getting hot in here? I'm like, this man just said, like, lick the pee and then poop. Like, what? But his name, guys, his name is Andrea Denver. So if he wasn't hot, it would actually be a crime against the universe. Like, that would be physically impossible for someone named Andrea Denver to not be attractive.
He is a little bit like, if someone told me, no, he's not Italian, he's an actor playing an Italian, I would buy it because he's doing everything so
yeah.
He's like over the top.
Sebastian Maniscalco meets Derek Zoolander,
yes,
basically.
Yes. One of the things he did do that I was like, wow, this is actually a move I wish I'd saw more often, is the girls were hungover in bed and he brought them coffee.
Loved.
And I was like, that would really work out for me. Well, if a guy showed care, any kind of caretaking vibes.
My favorite thing about
interested in
Sierra and Paige is the college girl sleepover energy of like, okay, we're sleeping in bed together. Like, what the fuck just happened last night? Like, who is, oh my God, don't eat, like, reel it in. He's so hot. Like, they just have such a fun energy. And I just could watch it all day. So I really appreciate that.
Well, what I identified with them most was, of course, them talking shit about the couple in the house.
Yeah.
And being like,
they're not even
Amanda
happy.
Didn't even, yeah. They don't even look happy. Amanda didn't even try to find him last night.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even try to find her.
I know.
At one point, Kyle gets upset because he's not getting a room in the house, which, by the way, I want to put a moratorium on talking about who gets a bedroom in reality TV.
No, housing. This is a part of watching Bravo Carolina. The choosing rooms is actually like one of the 7th most important tenets of Bravo. So just get used to it.
It's a really exhausting fight. Anyway, so Kyle's upset, which I did identify with Amanda. I too am afraid of confrontation, so I end up getting in shitty situations and they
related,
got a bad room.
Yes, I related so strongly to that.
Instead of saying, actually, me and my boyfriend are here, my fiance, we really do need a bigger room for the two of us.
But no, wait. I disagree with the notion that couples should just automatically get a bigger room because they're a couple. I don't think so. If you're a couple, you can spend every other night you want in a bed together, but just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean you should get the good room. So I actually liked the fact that Paige was like, I need a big closet, so I'm going to take this room, and Sierra and I are sharing a bed. So we're basically a couple too then. We're going to get this room. I agreed with that, and I liked that Amanda was like, no, they can have the room. Like, it's fine. They're married.
The Sonia Morgan and Ramona philosophy.
I like that. I really do. Because I don't think, like, just because you're a couple, you should automatically get a bed together. Have sex on your own time.
But I also thought it was so funny because it reminded me of couples who, like, poke the bear. You know, couples, they're not, it's not just that they're not getting along. They're starting shit.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it. I love it. I miss it from socializing with people.
Yeah.
They're saying stuff like, one of them said, I'll... One of them actually had, there was one conversation I did enjoy, which was arguing, you have to choose one of the two for the rest of your life, cheese or oral sex. Which one you choose?
They all chose cheese, right?
They all chose cheese.
Except
I was
Austin
like,
was like, no, duh, I would take blowjobs. Because Austin's like trying so hard to get laid that he was like trying to make it seem like he cares about sex, I guess.
Austin has round boy face. I think like when you're from rich Southern community, you get round boy face.
Honestly, he enrages me so much. The only time I have ever thought he looks good in any way is that Sierra is attracted to him. Like, that gave him points to me. I cannot stand him. I think he's so boring, lame, has nothing going for him. His job description is entrepreneur. What the fuck has he ever done with his life? He's just a rich boy with nothing. Just because he's tall, he thinks he's attractive. He's not. He's blonde. It just, no. Craig has always been hot to me. I've always been attracted.
Craig's really hot. And he really likes his girlfriend, if I'm thinking of the right person.
Well, I'm not going to give spoilers, but I do know what happens with that. So let's just stay tuned. But yeah, I love his raspy voice. I love that he seems like he just did coke the night before. I love that he sometimes has an open V-neck going.
All of these guys are guys we would hook up with if we were still drinking. And there are none of them are relationship quality.
Well, we don't know. I would say we haven't gotten a major window into Jason yet. He's one of the new guys.
True.
He's
that's
very
true.
Attractive. He's cute. So Jason and Andrea both chose to stay back at the house because, in Andrea's words, if the beautiful women are staying at the house, why would I go elsewhere? Which I kind of like appreciated. I think Jason has potential to be cool. No one else really is relationship material. Julia was the blonde girl who came last, and she's like that typical real world character who's like, I'm in a relationship back home and like it's like really gonna work, and I have a sense that it's not gonna stick around.
Listen, when we started watching the show, I was like, I'm watching 30-year-olds play flip cup, like, come on, I don't need this right now in my life. Like, I just I can't handle more stupid people in my purview. But then I kept watching and I thought, oh, I do like chaotic relationships. And some people are in relationships.
That's what it's about.
And I do like watching people slowly figure out that they shouldn't be together. And Amanda and Kyle are my focus right now because, as you said, he's obviously
the focus. They're always
an alcoholic. I think she's losing hair from the stress. There's no attraction between them. It's very much looking like she seems like someone who really likes being engaged, but she's literally saying when they're talking about Andrea, the Italian guy, liking blondes, she's like, my kind of blonde?
I know.
My blonde? My blonde?
She's so beautiful too. No, I wish you could have seen also like when they got engaged, I think it was on an episode of Summer House, they got engaged and she was crying so intensely that I was like, wait, are you like crying because you want to get out of this? Like she was like, I was like, wait, are you, is everything okay? But in the previews for the rest of the season, as always, there is like some sort of suspicion that he might have cheated on her. It happens every season. One season, he actually was like, yeah, this is just like a thing in my family. Like everyone cheats. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
Also, just wait because Lindsay Hubbard, a character from Summer House, still hasn't even gotten to the house yet. She always causes drama because she's always like secretly hooking up with people. And she is the type of girl who is friends with the guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
red flag.
She's a red flag. And she's like best friend, quote, best friends with Kyle and best friends with Luke. But it's like,
no.
Really, are you best friends or are you trying to hook up with them? And she has like a very intense, she's like a publicist. And like, to me, she appears in her 40s. So, I mean, I'm not, I don't know. It's just like, is this really still what you do with your weekends at this age? But so she just has like publicist energy, like smoker's voice energy. Like,
love.
You will love to see that.
I'm very excited. I don't get to see a lot of chaos in my life anymore. It's pretty much work, a few close friendships, and watching TV. And so it is nice to bring the bar life to me, if that makes sense.
Yes, it is definitely bringing the college, sloppy, chaotic life to you. I also wanted to note, which I'm just noticing in this Reality Tea article, news publication, realitytea.com, points out that Andrea Denver is not only a fashion model, but has also been featured in the Taylor Swift video for Blank Space and the Jennifer Lopez video for I Love You, Poppy. So we are working with a celebrity, and I do think that's what we deserve. I think Summer House deserves a celebrity. They're adding celebrities to the Housewives franchises. They've got Garcelle on Beverly Hills. There's rumors they're going to add potentially Leah Remini. So I think it's time Summer House gets someone of fame and status. And if you have been featured in a Taylor Swift and Jennifer Lopez video, you are akin to Grace Kelly to me.
I am praying that Leah goes on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I mean, we deserve it. We need it. She would be a straight shooter. She would.
I would love to stay on top. I think I am going to enter this new universe of Winter House. And I think I am going to start Salt Lake City. You know, like, I have room in my life for this right now, I think.
Well, you know, my greatest request to you is to start Potomac from season one. But I understand.
That's true.
I understand you have reticence. It is overwhelming. It's a lot of seasons, but it is really worth it, in my opinion.
And with that, Devin, I love you.
Love you, Carol. Listeners, enjoy your Halloween. If you were going to be Sid and Nancy and Kravis already ruined it for you, I'm sorry. But
I regret.
We hope you enjoy your Halloween weekend anyway.